what a true message that song has, that Jesus would speak to our heart. And just a childlike question that I would pose, how does God speak to our heart? And where do we really hear His voice in this? And of course, the answer is simple yet profound, and that is through His Word, the Bible. Man, what a privilege we have to have God's Word. So if you'll open God's Word to 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel chapter 26. As I mentioned earlier, we had a great service. God had me to speak to them on the graves were open. And man, they got excited about that out at the Baptist Village. But tonight, we want to look at a different subject that God has placed in my heart, and that God had appointed Saul as king of Israel. He was the first king that they were to have. Well, Saul was jealous, and he wanted to kill David. Even while before this became very evident, when David was playing the harp and soothing him, Saul was not quite soothed and picked up a spear and tried to spear him. And so David knew he had to watch Saul to a point. And then it became very evident. Saul gathered his army, tried to run down David and tried to kill him and destroy him. And so Saul found out that David was in a different location and went to that location where David was. Saul pitched his tent, they made camp. And doing this for the night to go to sleep, Saul got in a ditch. And then his best soldiers were around him and those who were protecting him. And his spear that stuck in the ground, and also he had a bottle of water on his holster. And that was close by where he was. And David said, I need to go down and see Saul, not to talk to him, but just to see what was there. And one of his men went with him. They snuck into the camp. God had put a heavy sleep upon Saul and the others. And so as David got in, the one that was with him said, now there's Saul. Let me put a spear and just take his spear and put it through his heart and pin him to the ground. David said, no. He said, we're not going to kill him. He said, he's God's anointed. God will take care of him. When God's through with him, he'll do the job of getting rid of him. And this one that was with David tried to persuade him to do so. And David said, no, get his spear and get his water and take it with us. And so they did. No one knew they were in the camp. And then the next morning, David challenges the one who was responsible for King Saul and said that you're not a very good protector. Said, we slipped in and we could have killed King David and you were asleep. And said, we took his proof of it. Here's his spear and his water. And so we come in on that conversation in 1 Samuel chapter 26 and in verse 21. Now, Saul realizes that he could have lost his life that night by the hand of David, by all rights. Anybody else would have taken his life. And so in verse 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 26, then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Saul realized of his sin and what was going on. And when he had heard David's testimony concerning him and his office that he had, then Saul realized and said, I have played the fool. Now, a few days ago, the first day of April, we had April Fool's Day. And a lot of people would pull pranks on others. And doing this, to make one as a fool or to try to trick one, they would be very deceitful in doing this and would try to scare someone or pull a prank on them and call it April Fool's Day. Well, just like Easter, and I use that term only because you understand the day I'm talking about, but on the resurrection day of our Lord. In that day, we want to, and the world tries to say, okay, we will celebrate and his resurrection day one day out of the year. And it's on a festival called Easter. And that's been associated with the resurrection of Christ. When you come to realize that every first day of the week is a resurrection day. And if we use the term Easter, we have Easter every first day of the week, where we recognize the resurrection of Christ. Well, April Fool's Day is not every first day, it's every day of every week, all year long. Most people are living a life of a fool. And we would have our definition of what a fool might be. Saul said that I have played the fool. And the question is tonight, are you playing the fool? What makes you a fool? Where you're deceived, thinking one thing is right, and it's not at all. Turn to Psalms chapter 53. Psalms chapter 53, I want to take you through the Bible and let you see what God says is a fool. Not what we might think is a fool. We need to understand what God says, and what God says is true, amen? And so we need to be aware of this and not be fooled by the world. So in Psalms chapter 53 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. So you can play the role of a fool when you think that there is no God. Well, we might say, I'm safe from that. I believe in a God. But does your actions really portray your belief in a God? Now, understand the word God. The word God means supreme, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, and on we could go. He is not limited by our limitations. He's God. Do we really believe in God? A fool says there's no God. When you worry about something that you can't do anything about, what are you saying? There's no God. This is horrible. This is terrible. And I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I'm worried sick about it. In reality, you're saying there's no God. But if you believe there's a God, then he's going to take care of it. You're going to trust him with it. Don't let the world or let your conscience that's been seared by hot iron or what you've heard of others deceive you in playing the role of a fool and not trusting God in all that you do for him to do the impossible. If it's not impossible, anybody can do it. But God majors in the impossible. So don't play the role of a fool and not trusting God with every area and every phase of your life. And praise God that we can. And the world needs to see people who will not play the role of a fool in demonstrating, well, no, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't have any help at all. If you're a child of God, you've got all the help you need and that God supplies for us. But then look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Here we find another definition of a fool and how a fool, and you can play the role of a fool. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says now in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now that word fear is dealing with respect. He's holy. He's God. He's the only one that really knows everything. He knows the secrets of the universe. He knows the secret of us, of our lives, and all about us, every part of us. He knows all about the secrets of how to get along with others and how to exist in this world. He's God. Those who respect God, says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I know what to do. Nobody's going to tell me you're playing the role of a fool. And where that we will seek the knowledge of God. Notice in 2, keep your finger there in Proverbs. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the matter of playing the role of a fool is when we will ignore the teaching of God's word. And our churches are playing the role of a fool in that they are ignoring God's holy word. They'd rather have man's knowledge instead of God's knowledge, man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's talking about us, Christians. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will desire to have those who would teach them and speak to them say the things that would excuse their sins, that would make them feel good, and that everything is all right, and they don't have to repent of anything. And not only that, it says in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Christians should never play the role of a fool. But Christians, just like the lost, will come closer to believing a lie, a false teaching, before they'll believe the truth of God's word. They will go after an explanation of God's word that is far from its meaning quicker than they would follow the true meaning of God's word. You play the role of a fool when you will not get involved in the study, in the depth of God's word, and how important that it is. Then notice in Proverbs chapter 10, we have another way that you can play the role of a fool. Proverbs chapter 10. Now, we're going to quit preaching and start meddling just a little bit here. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. You are playing the role of a fool when you hold a grudge and try to convince everybody you love everybody. I've forgiven everybody. And especially so-and-so. I've forgiven them. But if they do it one more time, means you've never forgot all the other times. And that hatred is still there, and you're trying to convince them, no, I don't hate them, but if they continue on, you're playing the role of a fool. Do not hide hatred with lying lips. You need to repent of that hatred, and you need to learn to have the love of God. Now, you've got to understand, when you love a person, that's not necessarily approving of their deeds. Now, when you love a person and love their deeds, that's another story. Now, it's good to love a person that's doing the right things of God, and you'll love what they're doing. But to love a person that does evil and love the evil that they're doing, then that's something else. You haven't really loved them. To love a person, you're going to help them when they're doing what's wrong. You're not going to condemn them. You're not going to punish them. You're going to try to help them that they can repent and come to the right relationship with God. But if you try to cover that up by saying, well, I love everybody, then you're playing the role of a fool. Look at verse 23 of this chapter, of Proverbs 10 and verse 23. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man understanding hath wisdom. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief. We've got people today, even in our churches, it's a game with them. It's a sport of how they can do whatever that is ungodly or whatever is wrong. And they'll start out with little things, as they might want to call it, when nothing is little. No sin is little in the eyes of God. Sin is sin. And when you begin to make fun and to make it a sport, and that nothing's going to happen when you do this, you're playing the role of a fool. Now look at Proverbs chapter 14 in the same manner as we looked at this. But Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9, God puts it a little different way. In Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14 and verse 9, in the matter of playing the role of a fool, doing that which you shouldn't do, thinking it's all right to do it. Now in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Fools make a mark at sin. I do not really, in one sense, I understand it a little bit, but not fully. I understand God's patience to a point. And I understand that God will have patience with a person who is doing something that is wrong and that he wants them to repent. And he'll work with them and try to get them to repent. And finally it comes to a place where his patience does come to an end. If you don't think God's patience comes to an end, if you could go back and talk to the people in Noah's time, they'll tell you God's patience comes to an end. He had patience with them for 120 years while Noah was building the ark and warned the people that they need to repent of their sins, but they didn't pay attention to it. And God's patience came to an end and the flood came. He had patience that came to an end with Sodom and Gomorrah. He even sent some angels down. He already had Lot and his family there to witness to him, and they compromised, but God's patience came to an end. And I wonder today how long God's patience is going to last. You look at the entertainment world. I think they're doing their best to mock sin in every which way possible. How ungodly they can dress. How filthy of a mouth they can have. And using all of the filthy language that even sailors haven't even thought about. It's unbelievable at the mockery of sin today, and people laugh at it and say there's nothing wrong with it. And what is right, they call evil, and what is evil, they call good. And they're teaching our children this, and teaching, we're trying to convince one another. God says you're playing the role of a fool. And so we need to recognize what's going on in our life and how we play the role of a fool. Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. Are you playing the role of a fool? And I find this very evident today. Now, one thing about America, we can look at its past, and God has done some marvelous things with America. Amen? And man, we've been a great nation under the leadership of God and those who would believe in God and lead our nation right. But then America began to follow some things and do some things that really America's become a fool. In America, gossip has become the priority of everything. Now, another word for gossip is lying, twisting the truth. They'll hear a little bit and take what might be a truth and stretch it out and really make a lie of it. It can destroy people. We do that in everything that we have in America. To sell anything, they take a little bit of truth and blow it up, and it's not really what they're saying it is, and involved with that. Now, in Proverbs 20 and verse 3, the Bible says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Did you get that? Are you playing the role of a fool? Every fool will be meddling. What was that you said about that person? You know, I heard that, what are you doing? You're meddling. We call it gossip sometimes. You're trying to get all the information you can that's negative. And man, you want to share that with someone else. There's been a time or two I had to close our prayer chain down in the church I was pastoring. Said, we're not going to have a prayer chain anymore. Why? Because they got to meddling. Pray for so-and-so. Well, what's the matter with so-and-so? Well, they're ill. Well, what's the matter with them? They had to dig and dig and dig and find out. And then by the time the prayer chain got to the end of the list on there, that person was dying of a horrible disease. It was totally out of proportion in that and wasn't even the same as it was to begin with. Started all at the fact of meddling. Meddling. Are we really trusting God? Are we going to meddle in the lives of others, not to help them, but in destroying them? You're playing the role of a fool. Then look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. There's another way of playing the role of a fool. And this doesn't just go on April the 1st. This is 24 hours, or 24/7, as we would say. It's all the time that's involved with this. In Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16, Jesus tells you what a fool and how you play the role of a fool. He spake unto them, or he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Now think about that. Just pause there for a moment. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man. This was not a poor farmer. This was not one that had to get his crop in just to survive for the year. He was a rich man. He really didn't need what he was going to have. He already had enough to take care of all that he needed to deal with. But his land brought forth plentiful. He had a great harvest in whatever he had or what was involved in that. And so in verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Now to begin with, he had enough room to take care of what he needed. And that he could, of his harvests that he had from year to year, and when he'd have a bad year, he had enough to carry him through the bad years and all that. But he had plenty of that. He was well taken care of. And now he's got so much, he said, what can I do? He closed his eyes to the poor around him. He closed his heart to the needy that was around him. He closed his compassion to those that needed some help. He had not only what he needed and more, but now he had abundance of it, and he's wondering, what in the world am I going to do with all of this? Well, he answered himself in verse 18. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, we play that same role as a fool when we look around and think that our security is in the abundance of what we have. Every time it comes over the news and you hear of a person that's won the lottery, the thing that runs through your mind and the minds of the majority of the people is, what would I do if I had $10 million or $50 million. We think that our security would lie and we would have all that we need. We could take it easy. We could have vacations. We could have all the necessary, the things that are good in life that we would say, all the toys, and not have to worry about a thing. If that is in your mind, you're playing the role of a fool. A church plays the role of a fool. There's been times when God has blessed the church financially and have a great year. What are we going to do with this? Well, we'll put it in bonds and we'll put it up and draw interest on this. Well, that sounds pretty good for a lost person, but you're playing the role of a fool. If God gave it to you the first place, he can give it to you again. Amen. Our trust is not in our finances, not in what we can do or what we have. It is in God. Now notice how this became a fool in verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. When you want to have your nest egg for a trust deal for yourself, you're playing the role of a fool. Now, God gives us sense to not play out in the rain or play in the middle of the street. He tells us that we need to provide for our families and need to set up provisions for that, and rightly so. But our abundance that goes beyond that needs to be used by God and not for our entertainment or our joy. On that, what God has given us, I think it was R.G. Letourneau, who his funds that came in, he said, I'm not going to give 10% of God. I'm going to live on the 10% and give the 90% to God. He wasn't going to play the role of a fool, see. We've got some people who have been blessed financially, blessed with material things, that it is like a river flowing through out to others. And they share that with the world. And praise God, they're not going to play the role of a fool. But many of us, whether it be we've got millions or we've got a little. We need to trust God and that He will take care of us and return to Him what is His, tithe, and then give an offering. And if you try to not do that, you're playing the role of a fool and trusting what you might have and not what God will do for you. Then in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Here we find another fool that is mentioned, and that people play the role of a fool. Now, we're going to have a time with you. You're going to think one thing, and the Bible's saying something else in this passage. Let me read it to you and explain both what's in there. Verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, here Jesus is talking about the matter of a fool building his house upon the sand. A wise man is one who builds his house upon the rock. Normally, we major and we think about the rock and the sand. What is the rock? We want to say the rock is Jesus. And Jesus is the rock, but that's not what this is saying here. We want to say the sand is rejecting Jesus, and your house will sink if you reject Jesus. Well, that's true in that. But what is really said here? What is really the rock and what is really the sand? I want you to notice something now in verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Now, just stop there. For the wise man, for the one that built his house on the rock, he hears the sayings of God and doeth them. Now look at verse 26. "And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not." The difference between the two is when you hear and obey, or you hear and do not obey. Both of them heard. One obeyed, did what he heard. That's the rock, to obey God. Not to obey is the sand. And we put little emphasis upon obedience. And it doesn't matter whether you come or not, if you come every now and then, that's not what God says. He says, "Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is." Oh, I might do this week, but I don't feel like doing it next week. And we think that's all right. You're playing the role of a fool, and you're building your life upon the sand. Now, you're not going to lose your soul. But boy, your house can be damaged quite a bit when you play the role of a fool. We need to recognize what's going on. Saul recognized and said, "I've played the role of a fool." Are you playing the role of a fool? Are you doing what God says not to do? Are you not trusting in Him? Are you saying there's no God? I'm alone. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And there's no hope for me. As a child of God, you're playing the role of a fool. We know a lost person will say there is no God. And they have no hope. But we know there is a God. And yet we live as if there's no hope in many of the things that we're involved with. When we need to have that faith and that obedience. Saul repented. What will you do? Will you continue to play the role of a fool? Will it be April Fool's Day for you every day of the year? Or will you put your trust back in God? Quit meddling. Be involved in the study of God's word and desire it. Quit being involved in mischief and mocking sin, refusing to tithe and think that you can take care of yourself if you have plenty of this world's good. Quit playing the role of a fool and do what God have you to do. It could be that you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans chapter 10. Well, let's look at verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8, talking about salvation. It says in Romans 10 and verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, some of you are playing the role of a fool and think that the word is nigh thee. It's in your actions and what you do, whether or not you obey as to whether you can be saved or not, whether or not you're baptized or whether or not you join a church. That's the role of a fool. No, it says it's in your heart. In verse 9, it's a faith in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth, not whosoever works, not whosoever is good, not whosoever joins a church, no, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't play the role of a fool. Repent and do what God would have you to do. Live that life that will show the world our faith is not in the things that they try to trust, but our faith is in a living God who takes care of us and who helps us. Show the world that the way you can be changed is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. By living that life, by being true and honest with one another as with God. May we stand, every head bowed and every eye closed.